Hello, everyone. My name is David McGovern, and I'm the host of A Little Light Listening, a podcast where we cover the latest developments in science and technology that are based upon the use of light. This regular podcast will feature experts from Ireland and around the world, and we will be exploring lots of areas, including how light is used in medicine, space, communication, and right here on Earth for dealing with the effects of climate change. Each week, we'll be reaching out to our community in advance of the podcast to get questions and comments, which we will put to the guests during the show. And I work in the Irish Photonic Integration Centre, which is the Science Foundation Ireland Centre for Photonics, where we will conduct world-leading research into science and application of light. Our national team of leading researchers work with other research centres and companies from around the globe, and it's with their help I will bring you some of the latest developments in this exciting area of research. The title is Quantum Worlds. Here we'll be discussing what exactly is quantum physics, and how this area of research applies to everyday life, and what can we expect as we continue to explore the quantum universe into the future. Today I'm joined by Dr. Emanuele Pellucci and Professor Elena Blachina, and later on we'll be joined by Professor Seamus Davis also. First of all, I'll introduce Emanuele Pellucci, who's one of my colleagues. Dr. Pellucci is the head of Epitaxy and Physics of Nanostructures Group at Tyndall. He completed his PhD in 2001 at the University of Bremen in collaboration with the TASC IMFM National Laboratory in Trieste in Italy. Dr. Pellucci has a very broad from quantum optics and technologies to surface science, and has developed a world-leading material growth process within his research group, whilst also uniquely developing and demonstrating arrays of site-controlled quantum dots and entangled photon emitters. In 2006, Dr. Pellucci was awarded the Science Foundation Ireland Principal Investigator Grant, and in January 2007, he moved to Tyndall Ashton Institute, where he is now working with me in the Irish Photonic Integration Centre, and he set up a new research group there in the field of 3-5 epitaxy and semiconductor quantum dots. And welcome today, Emanuele.
Thank you very much, David.
Long introduction. And Professor Elena Blachina is also here on the line from Dublin. Elena Blachina is an associate professor at the School of Electrical and Electronic Engineering at UCD. Elena received the received her degree from Saratoga State University in 2002, in our MSc degree, I should say, in physics. And in 2006, received a PhD in physical and mathematical sciences. And then in 2017, received her habilitation in HDR, which is an equivalent of a DSc in electronic engineering from the Sorbonne Universities. She has a very varied career. She is a senior member of IEEE and has been elected to serve as a member of the boards of governors of IEEE Circuits and Systems Society. From 2014 to 2017, she chaired the IEEE CAS Young Professionals and Women in Circuits and Systems Committee, and has also been the associate editor for IEEE Transactions and on Circuits and Systems Journal. And in 2018 to 2021, she was actually deputy in chief of that journal. She has served as a visiting professor at UPMC Sorbonne Universities in 2014, 2017, and 2021. And has a varied range of research interests, from quantum computing to semiconductor devices, quantum dots, and multiphysics systems. And currently, she is also the chief scientific officer at Equal One Labs, a quantum-based company. So welcome here, Elena. How are you getting on?
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Fantastic. Later on in the podcast, we'll be joined by Professor Seamus Davis. Professor Davis hails from Skibbereen in County Cork and received his BSc from UCC in 1983. And then subsequently got his PhD at the University of California, Berkeley in 1989. Professor Davis has held roles such as Professor of Physics at UC Berkeley, as a senior physicist at Brookhaven in New York. He has also been a Professor of Physics at St. Andrew, Cornell, and has also served as the director of the Center for Emergent Superconductivity from 2009 to 2014. And in 2019, he became a professor of physics at University of Oxford, and importantly, also at a professor of quantum physics at UCD, and was recently elected a fellow of the American Association for Advancement of Science. Professor Davis has a very diverse research interests, including the macroscopic quantum physics of emergent quantum matter, and we welcome here today when he comes later on into our studio for an interview. So, first of all, so thanks very much for those really long introductions there, but I think it's important everybody knows they were very lucky to have Elena and Emanuele here today. So I'm going to start actually with Emanuele. So you're my colleague and I work with Emanuele. I'm very, very privileged to work with Emanuele every day. So could you give a little bit of background about yourself and how, just on a personal level, how you first got interested in science and quantum in particular?
Oh, that's, well, I've been curious always as a kid, and I liked math. My mother always jokes that when I was in elementary school, I was going to ask the teacher to give me more calculations to do instead of running away. But then obviously you grow up, you get curious, you want to understand what happens around you. And at high school, I like physics and science, and not only, you know, history, literature, they're all very good. Then my family doesn't have a scientific background, so they cared about me having a job. So I went to do engineering, not physics.
Okay.
But then I took, you know, relativity, nuclear physics, logic and algebra. So all very fundamental things.
Okay.
And did a PhD in physics and surface science in Trieste and Bremen. I was curious. I wasn't sure I could be a good researcher, but I tried, and here I am after so many years. So I will keep going.
Absolutely. Well, fantastic.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Very interesting to come back from doing engineering at the start and becoming a research leader now. And Alina, you could you give us a little background to yourself and how you got interested in science and quantum in particular?
Yeah, all right. I think I always wanted to be a scientist. I don't know. I don't remember any time I actually didn't want to be a scientist. So I think, like, you know, I don't know, from very, very early ages, as far as I remember myself. And in high school, I particularly and chemistry.
Okay.
So, but like I decided actually, like, you know, to go for physics. Okay. So I'm a physicist by training. So I got a master's degree and PhD degree in physics.
Okay.
In a different field though. I mean, like, you know, so it's actually a combination of nonlinear physics and electron devices. And then I mean, like, you know, because of years of working in microelectronics and nanotechnologies, so eventually I got drawn to quantum computing, because I think it was 2016, and I read like some article called Stasha Ubersh, which is building block of quantum computers.
Okay.
So this very, very important, I mean, like an object qubit, okay, was actually implemented using a transistor. A transistor is something that, I mean, like, you know, so they have transistors everywhere, like in smartphones, in laptops, like, you know, it's a absolutely kind of, you know, common semiconductor device. And I thought, okay, so it's actually quite exciting that you can build a qubit, or you can use a commercial process, commercial technology to build a quantum computer. So, and I'm very excited to work in this field now.
Excellent. It's a very broad career. I mean, I myself studied chemistry, and we did some quantum when I was an undergraduate, but it was a lot of maths, and it was certainly an unusual world for me, because we actually never did a lot of, I guess what I would understand is the next question, which actually a lot of people have asked. So before we run these podcasts, we actually go speak to a lot of our community, both technical and families and non-technical. And one of the first questions we get asked, and I'm going to ask Emanuele this first, which is, what exactly is quantum chemistry, quantum physics, quantum maths? What exactly is it? And I suppose in a way that the general population, and I include myself in this now, how they could understand it?
Quantum is at least two-thirds of, if not more, of the current understanding of the physics law. So quantum, it just means what we understand about what happens in the world in conjunction with other things which were developed more than 100 years ago now. One, the big one, is relativity, which describes certainly cosmology in many ways, and not only. The quantum is a term which appears more than 100 years ago, basically pinning out the fact that when the physicists were trying to understand how an atom works, they were not seeing a light emission at whatever wavelength, but they were seeing discrete levels. Huh? We're actually seeing is something very similar to what you have in a piano, where each note has a different frequency.
Hmm? Okay.
And you're not seeing all the possible sounds and frequencies, all the possible notes, but just some are encoded there. Well, atoms are encoded in the same way. Now, that's where quantum comes from. And you will hear quantum mechanics even if we rarely apply to mechanics, but it's quantum physics. Now, quantum refers to that, to those laws, and to those laws and then all the equations which came later. We are around 100 years from those equations now. Schrödinger equation, the famous one, is 25, 26 of a century ago. So we are basically 100 years of quantum mechanics today. And that quantum, though the equations we have are incredibly good at predicting things, they look sophisticated, but they actually simply describing a field equation. What I mean a field is literally the waves in a lake when you throw a stone. Okay, so or the spring or the field of the sound emitted by violin. Okay, so they describe that and they actually perfectly fit it. So what they describe is a world made of fields or waves, okay, if you want. And this has been difficult to be accepted by by the broader community. Let's put it this way: we think about particles as balls, and they are not. But once isn't the mystery, which very often is described even today in the general representation that, you know, media and even podcasts of other nature say around. So one of the things which is important is understanding that quantum simply means physics and the laws of nature which run our world and our minute world of atoms, electrons, photons, nuclear particles, and so on. They all follow the same rules. And these are just different rules from our intuition, but they are fully deterministic, they're fully good, and they describe wonderfully what we have. There are a few things which we haven't understood yet. Yeah, but that's normal in physics, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
you haven't finished, so yeah, please.
Fantastic. Alina, so yourself, so just the same question to you, I suppose, for you, and for, I guess, for everybody out there, what is quantum to you, and I guess in some ways, what is quantum not also?
So, but of course, I just don't want to repeat, because it's all true. Quantum physics is about, matter, it's about light, it's about a lot of quantum phenomena, okay? And then quantum theory, I would explain, the quantum theory formulates the key concepts of quantum physics. All those, objects, lights, particles, so key concepts of quantum physics provides the mathematical tools to be used in conjunction with those concepts and introduces interpretations of observed phenomena. And again, trying to say in simple words, I would say, think about this, like what would be a typical problem in classic physics to solve? So for example, we would predict the motion of some object, let's say a plane's landing trajectory. So, and there is a similar problem in quantum physics. For example, we would like to model a motion of electron in a crystal. So according to quantum theory, we would describe this election using a mathematical construct called wave function. Okay. There is an equation that tells us how this wave function evolves in time and propagates in space. And then solving this equation tells us how the election moves and where it's likely to be found in a given instance of time. So this is a very powerful theory that applies to create lasers, solar cells, atomic clocks, quantum computers, to simulate electronic structures of atoms and molecules, and hence to create new materials. It's a very good question, what's quantum is not about. I would say quantum physics manifests very clearly in very small objects. However, in general, many of our day-to-day experiences are described by classic physics, so we don't really need a quantum approach. Like, as an example, we don't use a quantum theory to describe, let's say, cars, planes, turbines, planets, and so on. So even some common phenomena like electrical currents and voltages usually don't need any particular quantum description.
Okay.
Having said this, I want to mention that there is a hypothesis that the laws of quantum physics may also hold for massive objects of arbitrary size, which is, I think, it's a kind of absolutely amazing idea. And there is even a European Union-funded project, it's called the QXtreme, that seeks to answer the question and test the quantum superposition principle in macroscopic, like at macroscopic scales. So for a quantum physicist, everything, I guess, is quantum.
Okay.
Maybe I can add one thing which is we discussed before this as a the podcast. One of the things that people maybe not really realize is that the chemistry we live in, all the organic chemistry, all the chemist relationship, all the reaction are totally and fully governed by quantum law.
So, Seamus, coming to yourself, obviously we've spoken to Emanuele and Aline already. Could you give us a little bit about your background to yourself and how you got interested in science and quantum in particular?
Okay, I'm from West Cork. I went to UCC in the 1980s, got a degree in physics here, and learning physics then, I found it amazing. I still find it completely amazing and somewhat unbelievable, but I was always intrigued by it. And then when I got to graduate school in Berkeley, I had the opportunity to study macroscopic quantum physics. And as soon as I learned that there's actually no barrier between microscopic and macroscopic quantum physics, everything is quantum physics, then I was hooked for life. Okay. I'm just completely embedded in that question now.
Okay, fantastic. And to you, I mean, Emanuele and Elaine have given their understanding of what quantum is to them. And I guess what we've asked our community before we came in, we asked our families, we ask some of our researchers, and the question they really ask in a simple sense, what is quantum for everybody in the world? What is quantum in the most basic sense? How quantum world, and how does it work?
Quantum is the singular of the verb how much in Latin. Okay. And that's where the word came from. Virtually everything any of us have ever experienced and the basis of our lives and especially our technological world is due to quantum mechanics. My perception is that everything is quantum, so that the question doesn't really, I can't give a very detailed answer to it. Okay. But to me, the whole world is quantum mechanical. And one of the big mysteries is not that the world is quantum mechanical, it's that human beings have failed to perceive that for so long.
Okay. And is that in the sense that we work in this macro world where we feel things with our hands and we understand them, but we're not able to interpret that kind of...
It's in the sense that you were talking to believe that, but what you were taught to believe is wrong.
Okay.
Right? Everything around you is purely quantum mechanical. The reason why the table is stable is because of quantum mechanical interactions between the atoms that make up the molecules in the table.
Okay. Well, fascinating. Well, I studied chemistry, and I know Emanuele was saying it. I did my chemistry. We did some quantum chemistry when I was there. And Alina, you studied electrical engineering. And I suppose it's interesting to know. I think so. Alina, I would ask you in normal life, day to day world, what technologies could people from understand have a strong basis in quantum? And I know you work for Equal One, work with Equal One as a CSO. In that basis, just some examples for everybody in a day to day life. What technologies or applications can be that way?
I think I'm going to give examples actually related to electronic engineering. The very first thing would be the building block of every computer in the world is a semiconductor device known as transistor. So the quantum theory provides actually the foundation of so-called band theory of solids. And this theory allows us to engineer semiconductor materials with desired electrical properties. So from these materials, we build a transistor. And this is the fundamental block of microprocessors, memory, graphic cards, and so on. Okay. So this is like everywhere. I mean, like this technology is everywhere around us. Like very quickly, another example, very similar kind of technology is a semiconductor device known as a charge-coupled device. So it's used in all digital cameras. So it converts a light or photons into electrical signals. And then the electrical signals are processed and saved as an image by the camera.
Okay.
And maybe like one more example, again, not electronic, but engineering example. So you know the global positioning system, GPS, you know that it actually provides geolocation and time information to a GPS user anywhere on the Earth. So it relies on atomic clocks. The atomic clock measures time with incredible precision. So it uses a light emitted from a cesium atom when an electron experiences a very particular transition from one energy state to another energy state within an atom. So that's
okay. Fantastic. That's brilliant. Well, what a lot of, I mean, we're all working in research centers or research careers, and what well, fascinating thing for me about quantum is the diverse areas of research. So I'm going to go to Emanuele here. In terms of your research, I know you have a broad areas of research. In terms of quantum, what are you working on right now?
Okay, I guess one thing to say is that there's quantum, which is the last 100 and something years more of physics and research. And then there is applications, which are varied. Some are classical in the sense that it's classical computer, or our phones are part of our life. They work with solid-state devices, which follow. And then is a thing called quantum technology, which is a relatively new buzzword in the community, which is about using some or more exotic effects of quantum mechanics, predicted by quantum mechanics, to try to do computation, to make a better computer than before. So what I do in my life is part of my research is making materials which are will make good lasers for telecommunications, which makes good modulators so that we can get a better 5G, 6G, 7G generations of internet. So that's part of my work, of everyday work. But part of my work is also developing more exotic sources of light, which we call quantum light, because that light will have some properties which are, well, as Seamus said, for a long time not believed to be good or reasonable, but they're there and they work. And if you use those, not only just superposition, but the fact that two things which can be half in a place and half in another, and when you work on the half in the other place, you can actually modify the other half sort of instantaneously, which is a little bit of an odd thing, even for us. But anyway, if you do that, then you can think of using this to make a computation, a calculation of some form, which will, in principle, if we succeed in that, and there's plenty of people trying to do that, we can succeed in getting, a computer which is way better than any modern computer. We're working on that. It's going to take some time.
And so, Professor David, you're the professor of quantum physics here at UCC. So, what areas of research are you currently working on here?
I mostly focus on search for and study exploration of the next generation of quantum materials, which will be required for the quantum technologies that we can imagine in the future to be carried out. Although silicon, gallium arsenide, and other semiconductors have been the backbone of our technology now for at least 50 years, many of the quantum technologies we can imagine for the future can't use semiconductors for their operations. And for example, it would be much better if we had high-temperature superconductors to base quantum technology upon rather than semiconductors. So my work is focused on searching for, discovering, and exploring new quantum materials and new states of quantum matter.
Okay. What's fascinating to me, and being in Ireland, when we look at all the research that goes on in our collaborations across the EU and internationally, is that Ireland is a really significant place in this quantum world of research, considering the amount of international funding is going to the US and also in China here. And James, I'd like to know, how impactful is Ireland being in this space, and how are we doing internationally?
So I think Ireland, as usual, punches well above its weight when it comes to quantum physics, quantum technology research. And because quantum is a frontier area of physics, you can get to the forefront by skill and cleverness. You don't necessarily need the billions to make the discovery. Here's an example. If you do the right thing at the right time, you can develop a world leadership position in a technology which has not yet been discovered. And it's in that sense that I think Ireland's greatest potential is for quantum research.
Oh, fantastic. Well, and we have a young researcher here.
If I may, should never stop asking the government to put more money in research. Just to make it clear, we shouldn't just stop there.
That's one of our aims of doing this. And we were a young researcher, Alina. You're obviously working in quantum research up in Dublin. And what areas of research are you focused on yourself?
My research is dedicated to semiconductor qubits. So it's a different type of I just mentioned I'm looking at superconducting technology. That's a semiconductor technology, and I'm looking at the qubits, which is a building blocks of quantum computers. So I think it's important because In classic computations, we use digital bits, elementary units of classic information, and we take only two values, 0 and 1, and we manipulate and transfer information using digital bits. So, and in quantum information science, the counterpart of dash is a qubit. So being a quantum object, a qubit displays quantum properties. It can be in superposition, it can interact with other qubits, and it can form a tangent. So quantum computers are computational devices, and they possess an immense computational potential and computational complexity because they explore superposition and because they explore entanglement. So thus, I think amyloid-knots are actually really interesting and very important area of research. So the challenge of like my research, the challenge here is to create, control, and read the state of a large number of qubits so we can perform computations, we can really do something, complete something useful.
Fantastic.
So there are many technologies that was mentioned here, yes.
What's interesting to me as well is that, you know, you have a role within industry. So traditionally, I work with a lot of industry partners through my role at IPIC, and you know, what I find fascinating is that you're able to combine currently, as you have a research career, with working with Equal One Labs as well. And I think that's fantastic for Ireland to have companies like that based here. And do you see a bright future for quantum computing industry in Ireland?
I believe so, yes. There's a lot of support, and I think, I mean, like, you know, there is also a network of colleagues. There are also, let's say, young researchers. It's going to be a generation of young people and kind of engineers and scientists who can work in the industry. So I believe, I mean, like, you know, I totally believe that is going to be a bright future in Ireland.
Fantastic. So we touched on research funding already and funding of centres. And I know, Emmanuel, you're actually part of the new Quantum Centre. And if you'd like to discuss how that works with their collaborations internally here and externally.
Okay, yeah. So Tyndall has decided research and any other thing which is underpinning that. So the quantum materials which are needed for that and the materials which can be varied, which are needed for that. The Tyndall has just, it's a few months now. We have a quantum center officially in place. With a few members of the quantum centers are researchers which, like me, are doing also other things, but have an interest in quantum technology. And IPIC has a structure which is overlapping with the Photonics Center in Tyndall, which is from atom to devices, so from systems, actually, from atoms to systems. So I would be the atoms, the sort of the materials, and then we would have the system, right, the implementation of the technology for the users. What we have is that the researchers in IPIC are all engaging in creating a structure which will allow to integrate photonic sources, photonic chips which will process those sources, and the electronics which will run those photonic chips, all probably at relatively cold temperatures, at minus 270 degrees or so. Possibly also detectors with knowledge we don't have yet, but we will build up because they have to be superconducting. So Shimas will be helpful on that. So the basic idea is to build a transceiver and a unit of a quantum computation tool.
Okay. And Seamus, in the next couple of years, obviously in every field of research, there's key targets that people are hoping to meet and or maybe key technology breakthroughs. What do you see as the potential for the next 5-10 years that we might see, not just in Ireland, but internationally in the area of quantum, that, you know, for the general population, obviously people hear about quantum computing a lot, but in terms of the fundamentals of this, what do we see as some of the biggest key breakthroughs that might come in the next 5-10 years in this area?
Well, there's two parts to your question and there's two parts to the answer. There are mysteries and big breakthroughs which will come in quantum, fundamental quantum physics. And then there are, you know, challenges for quantum technology. On the quantum technology side, one would really like to, there are commercial quantum computers right now, you can buy one, right? If you have maybe 5 million euros and you're willing to build an extension on your house, you can buy a superconducting quantum computer from IBM. They work beautifully, right? Big finance companies already invest in them, as do governments. So, but they're massive, complicated devices. What we'd like to have is a compact, on-chip, room temperature quantum computer, right? Whoever gets there first will win. And that's one of the reasons why the Tyndall Center is so important for Ireland. So I think most serious people, you know, quantum computing, quantum information technology, quantum internet would focus on achieving this cheap, reliable, compact, room temperature quantum information processing. Now, on the other side of the coin, fundamental quantum physics is pretty much in chaos. There are far more things we don't understand than we do understand, and there are, you know, many challenges on the table even for the short-term future in quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics is believed to be non-local at the moment. You can influence something in New York by doing something, you know, in Washington instantaneously. But there are theorists who don't believe in that theory now, and there are new proposals for testing this quantum non-locality, etc. That's one area. And a big area, a profound area going on all over the world, is that it's unknown if gravity is quantum mechanical. So there's a vast effort going on to try and figure out whether quantum gravity exists, and if it does, how does it work?
Well, I mean, I think that's the fact that there's so much fundamental work going on as well as application work, I think is very interesting for everybody involved in the research areas. And I think one of the questions we were asked actually before we came here by, and I'll ask Lena this as well, is we were asked, so when I studied quantum at college, it was essentially mathematical derivations, it was less application based. And even though I was a chemist, they focused so strongly on the mathematical derivation learning off effectively. So we didn't get engaged with maybe the more interesting, I guess, interesting parts of it, which is the theoretical elements and understanding how the fundamentals work. And I was asking Alina first, your training's background is in electrical engineering. What would you say, and we were asked this by our people who are guests, said before we came here, said, what would you recommend people to study? And guardians and parents have asked us the same when their children want to get involved in this at university level. What would you say are some subjects that they would be interested in looking into to try and get into this area of research?
I think, first of all, it's actually really important to understand that a quantum field is a very broad field. So it depends, I mean, like, you know, is it physics, is it engineering, or is it maybe computer engineering, and so on. So just, I mean, like, you know, outline, I mean, like, you know, let's say three groups, I mean, like, you know, I found, like, particularly, let's say, useful. For example, if we are talking about, let's say, career in physics and quantum, which is now actually, I mean, like, you know, there's a lot of options at the moment, right? So we will be talking about of course, something like, you know, quantum mechanics, mathematics of quantum mechanics and quantum physics, quantum optics, light and matter interaction. But also for a physicist, it's now very important to study programming, like Python programming, C++ programming, statistical physics, optimization, skills to work with experimental data. So, and I think, I mean, like, you know, compared to the, say, the years I was a student in physics myself, okay, so that was less focus on programming, let's say, and let's say, I mean, like, you know, some practical tools. And now I think it's actually very, like, really required. So if it's a quantum engineering, so we are talking about, again, a solid knowledge of quantum mechanics, but also semiconductor devices, radio frequency engineering, circuit design. Okay. So, and actually another quite interesting kind of, you know, aspect of the quantum engineering is to work with components, circuit components at a very low temperature. So again, kind of a fusion of physics and engineering, actually, in this case. And someone who is interested in quantum algorithms, I mean, like, you know, there is no direct, let's say, contact with physics or kind of hardware in this case, then linear algebra, optimization, and quantum information theory would be my recommendation.
Fantastic, Lena. Emanuele, I'll ask you the same. I know your background, but what would you recommend? Because we do get a lot of people come in the summer programs. We do an internship program in Tyndall or in IPIC, and we get people coming in and they're fascinated by quantum, and they ask, how do we get into this? Because they kind of imagine it as physics only, or they imagine it as maths only sometimes. So what would you say, Emanuele, would be of interest to you?
Well, guess physics is the main route, but there are parallel ones. The issue, I think, is where these questions are coming from. If the student has already huge interest and has been given it in his house or because he has friends or brothers a given material, then, you know, they have a good starting point. They have a good starting point. It's understanding math. Math is not about learning by heart, right? I don't remember a lot of things, but I can sort of derive them in a way or another. And this is what it is about, understanding things and really not remembering by heart, because that doesn't help. So if you got the right methodology, then you have books and you have good professors, then you go and you can have a good varying, depending on the university system you are. You know, engineering will have a lot of quantum, chemistry will have a lot of quantum, biology is a lot of quantum in terms of the chemistry involved. It's difficult to understand DNA without understanding the complexity of quantum mechanics. So the important aspect is that you find what is interesting to you on the spot when it happens to you. Other thing is to tell a broader audience. You know, typically people come and say, oh, I hate math or I hate physics, I don't understand it. That's fine. The point is, it's very often it's not been taught, right? Math has been often taught, at least in my generation, as a set of rules. When you ask people, what does it mean that you bring this term on the right of the equation or on the left, they don't know why. And it's a very simple logical mechanism. And you shouldn't remember by heart how you bring things on the right or on the left. You just should be knowing why you're doing it. Now, this is the right way of getting interested in things.
I think that's
then
it.
They come. They come when teachers are good at university, but that material will come to you, but you need to build the house on which you build the rest.
I think it's a lovely answer. And Seamus, you obviously agree kind of similarly. What would you say yourself, that kind of idea of teaching it well, as opposed to just teaching maths itself? What would you say fundamentally underpins
well,
this?
Well, of course, I completely agree with that. The one with high quality teaching, of which we have a lot in Ireland, you can break down these more or less perception and psychological barriers to learning and understanding physics and quantum mechanics. It's not that difficult. I mean, if you can become an actuary or work for a bank, you can do quantum mechanics, no problem. But I have another point to make. It took me a long time myself to get over the barrier of not having had practical experience. So I usually recommend that as soon as a young person becomes interested in physics or quantum mechanics, you know, go to your local electronics store, get a laser pointer, make some experiments of your own, right? You don't actually have to have received wisdom in order to understand the world. You can go out there and explore it yourself. And the sooner you start, the sooner you'll reach the point of making discoveries. So that's the second thing I really recommend people to do. Get their hands dirty. Get into the lab as soon as possible.
I think that's one of the things we learned from our EP program in IPIC was that when we went out to people, even people are going to graduate soon, there's less practical stuff seem to be done in schools at the moment. It seems to be less. And I know in my lab, in my school, I don't know whether it would pass all the rules nowadays, but we could do anything in a chemistry lab.
We really, too.
I'm not entirely sure passing mercury around was the things like that, but it was a genuine, I still remember today, and I still remember having that practical experience, being able to do things and being in a lab and building circuits and performing chemical experiments.
And exploding them.
I think that's why I think it's really good advice, and I really think this is the sort of thing that people, when I listen to a lot of quantum podcasts and quantum shows, and I think this is the sort of messaging that I think is important to come through, is not just to go into what quantum entanglement is and all, it's actually to start from the start and say you make your own discoveries.
Buy a screwdriver.
Well, I think this has been fantastic. We've had a brilliant time today, and I know I've taken a lot of people's time here, Elena, Seamus, and Emanuele, and I really appreciate you coming in to speak and to our audience here, and for answering all our questions and my questions today and all the prep that comes into this. I really appreciate it. I want to thank the IPIC and Kieran Hurley here at UCC Radio for letting us use their fantastic facilities here, and IPIC and Science Foundation Ireland for funding and supporting this, and Amy O'Sullivan and Katrina Tyndall as well in the EP program in IPIC. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and thanks to my guests again today. It's been fantastic and very interesting subject, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about quantum and Quantum World Day 2, which is coming up, and this will be a part of our activities, and we're really going to look forward to a fantastic day. And I recommend anybody who's listening to this to look up Quantum World Day. There's lots and lots of activities going on everywhere and in Ireland, and this will be one of these. So if you look it up, and you'll see a lot of activities ongoing from ourselves and from everybody else. And I want to thank everyone again for coming, and all the best.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.